and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do now? They were like, okay, we've heard the message. Now what do we do? What do we do? What do we go on to do now that we've heard the message? It says, then Peter said to them, repent. So give your heart to Jesus. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, repentance for salvation. We all need to make that step. And I know a lot of people have. A lot of people for the first time over the last year or so. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It's an act of obedience to God. So if you are saved, if you've given your heart to Jesus, if you've repented from your sin, it's time to be baptized. It's a command of Scripture. It's expected of you as a believer to move on toward baptism. And we're believing that over this next while. So come to me and talk to me about it. If you don't, I'm going to come to you and talk to you, because I think it's really important that we, if we're following Jesus, if we've given our heart to Jesus, we need to be baptized. And then it goes on to say, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and what that means in our Christian life. So I'm just really excited to see what God's doing. I'm excited to see that people are growing in God and people's lives are being changed. I'm excited when God heals people. Kathy's been having a ton of problem with her back. I asked her to come up and speak today, and she's such a quiet soul. She didn't want to come up and say anything, so I'll just say it for her. But she's been suffering a lot with pain in her back, been back and forth to the doctor quite a bit to see what it was. And she found out she had arthritis in her back. Sunday morning, she's in the service, pain in her back. Got prayer Sunday morning, hadn't had pain since. So God is good, right? God is good. Fran Krajcevich got healed in the Sunday morning service too. I'm not exactly sure the details. When next time she's here, I'll ask her to tell you. So, but God is moving. God is working. God wants to move and work in your life. So trying to provide places and opportunities for that. So we just went through our planning meeting this week for the year and just some of the things coming up so you have some details you can put on your calendar. The first full week of April, I believe it starts April 4th. The Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be our spring conference. So far I have Steve Fleming is booked to come in. I'm pretty sure Rick Cimitero is probably going to be in too for that. So mark that on your calendars, those 4 days. We're planning a mission trip. And this will be an all-ages mission trip to Timmins, Ontario. There's a small church up there that just bought a building. Mark Davey is going to be up there doing a bunch of tent meetings. So we're going to go up and do some construction on their building. We're going to help in the tent meetings. We're going to do some street evangelism, do some work in the tent with the kids during the day. And really, basically, it'll be a nice trip to do. It's about an 8-hour drive away, so it's fairly close. Probably cost about $100 a person. And then we're going to take up some offerings just to help with building the building there and help with the crusade. And you can raise money, too, also, and give extra over the $100. Or 150, so that we could go do something to help another church. I think missions is a good experience for everyone. Jesus said, go into all the world. First, Jerusalem. We love Dunville Day. We did that. Jerusalem. We're doing it every week in our world. And then Judea. I believe Timmins and places like that are our Judeas and Samarias. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because I really believe God's called us to do that. Some of us have gone already, and I believe God's called more. I believe in missions. So if you're interested in that, we're probably going sort of the last week of June going into the Canada Day long weekend. So it'll be like the Wednesday onto the Monday. So if we could, I'd love to bring 20 or 25 people up there and just go and help them in that town. It would be a lot of fun. This week, starting for the ladies, there's coffee at Christine's house and my house, but I won't be there. I'm not allowed to come. Besides, I'm kind of scared of women, so I won't be there. But at 1 o'clock, right, hon? So 1 o'clock, if you have some time off during your day, you just want to get together with some of the ladies from the church, come on out for that. And then the mall scavenger hunt is coming up for the ladies February 4th. So that's a couple weeks away, right? 2 weeks from last Friday. So register for that. Come on out. Invite some friends. And then we have the Super Bowl bash coming. And hopefully the Jets will be in it. So far, so good. Glad there's a lot of Jets fans in the house. Sorry for all you Patriot fans that got blown out last week. That's February 6th. The guy who runs it does a really, really good job. It's going to be a great night. It's a lot of door prizes, a lot of chili, a lot of things like that. So get the night clear. Come on out. It'll be good fun. And then one other thing we have coming up is we're going to do this month anyway, February, a prayer and share night. So praise and prayer. We're going to have a time for testimonies. I know a lot of you have wanted to give testimonies. A lot of you want to hear testimonies. Well, that night will be for prayer and praise. Testimonies and prayer. We're going to do some small group prayer where you can express your personal needs, and we'll pray together in small groups for those needs. And then we'll do a bit of corporate prayer, pray for our region, pray for what God's doing in the world. But it'll be a good time for you to grow. The Bible says we defeat the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We're seeing it in our youth and young adults that as we get together every week, we share what God's doing in our life, and it's changing our lives. It's so fun. I had to go do a sleep study on Wednesday night. We had our young adults, and I had to duck out. So we started at, we started at 7. And by 8 o'clock when I left, they were still giving testimonies. So it was good. It was really good. God's doing things in people's lives, and we need to hear what he's doing. So come on out that night, February 13th. All right, let's get into the Word. I'm excited about this year of 2011. I believe God wants to do great things in our hearts and in our lives. I think that God's opening doors and wants to work through you and in you. Matter of fact, I know he does. Last time we were together, we were talking about, we started a new series called Just Do It. And I know, like, just do what? But we're talking about, actually, the words of Jesus, what he wrote in Mark 16, and then the words of Luke in Acts chapter 1. And it goes like this. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And miraculous signs will follow to those believing these things. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will be well. Then indeed, after speaking to them, the Lord was taken up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And going out, they proclaimed everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by miraculous signs following." As a church, our call, our whole call in every church is the Great Commission. It's to go into all the world, preach the gospel. It's going to our neighbors, going to the people we work with, going to the people we hang out with, and telling them about Jesus, the good news that Jesus sets us free. The Bible says that they'll cast out demons. We talked about this, and how in our culture, I have found, especially over the last 30 years, we have become so obsessed with intellectualism and humanism that a lot of times we don't even really believe in demons anymore. We don't believe in that stuff. I was reminded over the past couple weeks, I was talking to a guy that actually we led to the Lord several years ago, and he moved over to Welland and started, living there. But I remember when we first met him, they called the church because they were having problems in their home. And the problems were a little bit weird compared to most problems, because what was happening is furniture was moving around in their rooms, and stuff was moving on the walls, and there was just all this kind of really crazy supernatural things going on. And we went and prayed in the house and prayed for them. They gave their hearts to Jesus, and the stuff stopped. That all sounds like really crazy, right? Like tables moving, furniture moving by itself. But the devil's real. And when he said, "Go cast out devils," he wasn't talking about some kind of whacked out thing that doesn't exist anymore. The devil is as real today as he was 2,000 years ago. When we hear the story about the demoniac running through the graves, cutting himself with stones and doing all that, it doesn't just happen 2,000 years ago. The devil is as real today as he was then. And our mandate as a church is to cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. This is our mandate as God's people. It's not past, it's not gone, it's here today. In our culture, we have so many things that are given to us that we just accept that this doesn't happen in our world anymore. Maybe we think we're Christian enough in this country that the devil doesn't move. But the devil has hidden behind our intellectualism. And there's so many people that are struggling out there that just really need to be free. And he called us to set them free. And it goes on in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Truly, O Theophilus, I made the first report as to all the things that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up, having given direction to the apostles whom he chose through the Holy Spirit, to whom he also presented himself living after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them through 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The series is really about keeping the main thing the main thing. If there's one thing I've learned over the years is that if I'm going to walk a Christian life that's powerful and strong, and I'm going to stay strong in the Lord, I got to stay close to the Lord. I got to spend time with Him. Got to spend time in His Word. We talked about this Wednesday night at Young Adults, is that if we don't spend time in the Word, we're never going to grow as Christians. If we don't know what the Bible says, we can't know God. If we don't try and understand more, and we don't ask the Holy Spirit to bring God's Word alive to us, we're never going to grow the way we're supposed to grow. We'll be weak. We won't be able to walk with God. We'll be bored in our Christian life. We'll be bored in a lot of what we do. But we have God's Word. There's countries in the world where they get one page of the Bible. They get it for a week, and then they got to trade off. And they get another page, and they get it for a week, and they trade off. And if they get caught with that page, it costs them their life. But I'm guessing that most people in this room have 5 or 6 or 7 Bibles of their own. I'm thinking in most Christian homes, there's probably 20 to 25 Bibles kicking around. And we have so much of the Bible, yet we don't consider it as valuable as those who don't have, as those who are persecuted. If they would memorize pages of the Bible just so that it would be there for future reference. But we have the Bible, and so many times we don't even pick it up. And God wants us to read His Word and to grow in His Word. Keep the main thing about and living out our call that God has given to us as a corporate body, the church. The call to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He, in these verses, was sending out his disciples to carry on his work, to share the good news that if you believed in the resurrected Christ, that you could be free and start a new life. I don't know about you, but when I met Jesus, I started a new life. And there's been times along the way where I've lost my way, where I've got all wrapped up in things of the world, where I got all wrapped up in worries and cares and struggles. And whenever I turn back to Jesus, my world became new again. His power and His love will make your world brand new if you'll allow it. Before they were to go out, though, we talked about last time that Jesus commanded them to go and to wait. And we talked about the value of waiting. We talked about the value of sitting and just waiting on the Lord. I hope some of you took the time over this past couple weeks to just do that, just to stop and just to hang out with Jesus. I don't know about you, like once in a while I like to bring Christine some flowers or stuff like that. And especially when we were dating, she'd ask, well, why? What'd you bring them for? And I'd say, just because. Right? It's just because day. And there's some times we need to just hang out with the Lord just because. Because we love Him. Because we want to be with Him. Because His presence means something to us. And He called His disciples to wait on Him. This is an old kind of saying, and maybe it's a bit cliche, but there's a God-sized hole in each side of each one of us that only Jesus can fill. And there's so many times that we just need Jesus to fill that hole in our life. But we get so wrapped up in work, or we get so wrapped up filling that hole in through thinking or through entertainment or through whatever. We overwork, we overthink, we overdo, just to try and fill the hole inside of us, when it really all it takes is just stopping and being with Jesus. Jesus is real. He's here with us today. whenever you reach out to Him with all your heart, you'll find Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him. You will find Him. He'll be with you. And it's just a matter of making it a priority in our life. And like Mark said last week, you know, we have so much background noise going on in our life. There's so much stuff. There's so many things going on all the time. So many voices going on in our head. So many noises going on in our world. It's just hard to find time to be with Jesus. So the only way we can actually do it is if we actually purposefully carve out time. That we take time and set it aside to be with God. Now that might be for some, as we talked about that day. Maybe it's in those hours in the night when all of a sudden, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, you're awake and you don't know why. Take some time and be with God. The phone ain't going to ring at 2 in the morning, probably. It's a good time. Kids aren't going to be pulling on you. Your spouse is not going to be asking you questions. You'll be alone. You'll sit quietly in the presence of God. You can book a hotel room through Priceline, cheap, and just go sit in a hotel room by yourself and just be with God. Just take some time. I think so many times we're willing to spend money on crazy stuff. On crazy stuff. We're willing to spend money on a picture for our wall that might be worth $300 or $400. And we're not willing to take $100 and go spend some time alone with God. And if we really are going to have time with God, we have to prioritize it. We have to prioritize it not only in our time schedule, but in our money schedule. Sometimes we just need to get away. And be with God. We need to get away from the phone. We need to get away from people. We need to get away from everything. And be with God. If you'll do that, God will reward you with His presence. And that's what we need more than anything. Again, just for no other reason than just to be with Him. This is the place, when we get in that place, where we're filled with a sense of peace and power. And really refilled with the Holy Spirit. Just refilled and our lives reflooded with Him. And this is what Jesus wanted for His disciples that time. He wanted them to go away and just take some time to seek Him and to wait for the promise of God. And I mean, sometimes we're all struggling with peace. Sometimes we're struggling with just trying to get our head around things. And we just need to take some time away. So we could be with God and He could put it all back together for us. And that's what He wanted these disciples to do, get away. So we look back on that event. They went to the upper room and they waited. I don't know about you, waiting stinks. I don't like waiting. I go fishing. If I don't catch anything in a half an hour, I want to go back to the dock and I want to get my car, I want to go home. I don't want to wait for a fish for like 2 hours. But they didn't know how long they were going to wait. Jesus said, go wait. And they went and waited. And they waited for quite a long time. And I'd imagine after the first couple days, they're like, well, so how long are we going to wait for? They didn't know exactly what they were waiting for. Right? They know, they heard about the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know what that would be like. Or would it be, you know, like the Messiah? Would it be like Jesus coming? Or what would it be like? And they didn't really know how they would know once the Holy Spirit was there. So Jesus asked them to take a step of faith. Just to take a step and just trust Him, and they did. And they didn't have any idea. We know how it all panned out, right? They're waiting. They're waiting on God. All of a sudden, the room is filled with a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire on their heads. They start speaking in other tongues. It all goes out into the street. They preach. They're speaking to people in languages they don't even know how to speak, and people are hearing about the goodness of God, and then they lead like 3,000 people to the Lord in one day. That's how it panned out. But they didn't know it was going to pan out that way. We know, because we look back at it. We, though, need that same Holy Spirit in our life. We need the same Holy Spirit that they were waiting for that day in our life. We need to be filled like they were that day. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the second work of God's grace in our life. We need that we're saved. We love Jesus. We've been baptized. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's There's that work he wants to do in our life. Not because it somehow makes us more saved or makes us a better person, but it equips us to go into that next phase of our life. It equips us to take that next step in our Christian walk to be useful for power-filled service. You know, like Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, all that. But he said, first, go be quiet before me and be filled. So we're ready. We've given our hearts to Jesus. We've been baptized a lot of people. And some people just haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. So we want to do the Great Commission. We want to be ready for it, but we aren't equipped or empowered for it yet. And we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to carry out the work of God. We need it. It's imperative. We didn't get saved just to sit on our rear ends and do nothing. We got saved to tell the world that Jesus loves them. Sang that song, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. Sang it so many times, it's going to be pounding in my head all day. Jesus loves me. He loves me, but he also loves the world. And he wants to empower us for that work. That's why it's so important for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we could fulfill the Great Commission. In Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, and having met with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days. This was the command of Jesus to his followers on that day, to go and wait and be filled. I think scripturally it's still the command for us today to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So today I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and being filled. I'm going to read quite a lot of scripture today. I want you to understand what we're talking about. And just, you know, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, over the course of the next couple weeks, I hope that you get enough information from the Word of God to know it's for you and that you need it. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I just pray that God you'll open your heart up to God and let Him refill you. Let Him keep filling you. One of the words they use for being filled with the Holy Spirit is not filled like we know it, like filled like just about to the top. It's being filled so it pours over the sides. And that's what we need to have. It's the Holy Spirit. So it's leaking. like when Peter walked down the street and people were just healed because the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong on him that it just fell out on people. We need to be filled in that way. So the first thing I want to say is Jesus is urgent about the matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being Spirit-filled. Before he went to the crucifixion, before he died, He was really strong on the subject. As I was saying, though, just earlier even, so many times in our culture, we have done away with the supernatural. We've relegated it to being superstition and to being like fringe kind of stuff. We think it's kind of a little bit whacked. We think it's probably a little bit out of control. We don't know how to control it. We don't know how to deal with it. We think it's even fantasy. Again, our culture has become so obsessed with humanism and intellectualism that if we can't explain things in a rational way that we can understand, then we do away with it. And we put it off to the side and we ignore it, hoping that somehow, in some way, it'll go away. And we think that'll be the answer, but it's not the answer. Supernatural, if we relegate things to being fantasy or being superstition, we're hurting ourselves in a big way. We are in a fight that's not physical. The Bible says this. We're in a battle that's not a flesh and blood battle, but a spiritual one. In Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12, it says, finally, build your strength in union with the Lord and by means of His mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. We are not fighting against human beings, but against wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of the dark age. Do you think that the devil has quit? Do you think the devil's thrown up his arms and said, I guess I can't win this battle, so I'm just done? I don't think he has. I think he's still at work in the world today. And we have to be aware of that we're fighting a spiritual battle. When we relegate the supernatural to the realm of fantasy and superstition, then by default, we do the same thing to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the part about God that a lot of us just don't know what to do with. We don't really understand. We can understand God the Father, most of us, and how He created us and He loves us. We can understand even the part about Jesus, even though it's really hard to understand how He'd give His life for us, even though we reject Him so many times, even though we aren't really deserving of that love. We can sort of accept that. But the Holy Spirit is a whole other thing. When we think about the upper room experience, when we think about some of the things that we've seen in our time and in our age about the Holy Spirit, it makes us feel a little uncomfortable because it's a little bit out of control. It's a little bit wild. It's not really tame. So it makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. And because of that, a lot of times we relegate it to the background. We can rationalize God and Jesus and His work, but we have a hard time with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, though, put a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit during His life and ministry, especially as it was drawing to a close on earth. He spoke about it the night before He was crucified. In John 14, verse 16 and 17, He spoke about the Holy Spirit. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, so that He may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him nor know Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you." He spoke out about the Holy Spirit again after His resurrection, urging them to prepare their hearts to receive Him. And then just before He ascended, He made three pointed statements about His disciples becoming filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus told His disciples with certainty that the Holy Spirit would baptize them in the near future. Acts 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "And having met with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Shall be baptized is a definitive term. It's not a maybe, it's not a might. It said, you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Speaking to His disciples, but He's speaking to us. Same promise as ours today, praise God. In the second thing that He pointed out was that His coming, the Holy Spirit's coming, was a priority. Jesus told His disciples that to Him this was a priority, and that they should make it a priority also, so much so that they should go somewhere and just wait for the promised Spirit. Jesus said to His disciples in John 17, He said, "It's expedient," it says in the King James, "it's really important for you that I go, because unless I go, I cannot send the Comforter. Unless I leave, the Comforter cannot come. So it's really important for you that I go. It's better for you," it says in some translations, "that I go, because if I go, the Comforter will come." Jesus put a huge priority on the Holy Spirit coming, so much so that He asked them to stall their lives and just wait until the promise came. The third thing He said is that when the Holy Spirit comes, He would give them the ability to carry out what they were being told to do. Jesus told them that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit came upon them. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be My witness. You will be witnesses for Me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." They were unable to carry out the command of Jesus until the Holy Spirit came. And we are unable to carry out the commands of Jesus until the Holy Spirit comes. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to have that work of God's grace in our life. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we will lack the power we need to carry out the command of Jesus in our generation. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter gets up and preaches under the influence of the Holy Spirit And after he's finished, this is the response of the crowd. I read this a little bit earlier, but I'm going to read it again. Cut to the quick, those who were there listening asked Peter and the other apostles, brothers, brothers, so now what do we do? Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins can be forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These three steps that Peter laid out for a Christian life were important for the Christian life. Peter summarized, this is what you need now as you move on with God. This is what Jesus has been revealed to you. So now, repent. Give your lives to Jesus. Be baptized. Baptism is really, really important. I'm going to pound on this a little bit over the next while because I really believe it's important. I know it's important. It's scriptural. The other thing is important because we look at statistics today and they say that if you're baptized, the statistics show that if you're baptized, that you're 80% more likely to walk with God for the rest of your life. That's huge. It's confirming what Jesus said in being baptized. Be baptized, really important. It shows that you died with Him and that you're living with Him. These things are really important. So, we need to repent from the depths of our heart and turn to God. This brings salvation to our life, right? Repentance brings salvation. We need to be baptized to show that we've died to the old life and risen again with Christ. This brings identification. I belong to God. I identify with His death. I'm with Him in His death. I'm representing again through baptism that I died with Christ, and I rise again with Him to new life. It's really important for us to understand the power of that. And then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because this brings the power we need for Christian service. So three steps, hugely important. So we need to go through each one of those steps. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' passionate concern that His disciples be filled with the Holy Spirit was also carried as a passion for His disciples after that. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, it says, the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had received the word of God. So they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for the believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not yet come down on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So they went, they heard that Philip was having this evangelistic crusade in Samaria. If you guys remember, Samaria was kind of the place that Jews looked down on. Was a place they sort of hated. They didn't like the Samaritan people. They thought they were pigs and dogs, is what they actually thought. But Philip felt led to go and have a crusade there, and he led several people to Jesus, and they were baptized. A lot of people believe today that when we give our heart to Jesus, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life today. But clearly in this verse, there is that salvation experience, baptism, and then a baptism in the Holy Spirit. So there's a second work that God does in our life through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make you more saved. It equips you for power-filled Christian service to fulfill and to carry out the Great Commission. It's not necessary for salvation, but it's necessary to live a power-filled life. It's so important that we understand this, that it is the work of God that He wants to carry out in our life. Sometimes something so significant happened to these believers that the town sorcerer wanted the power that they had received. Just as it was at Pentecost, there was this evidence that the Holy Spirit had come. There was an evidence of the Holy Spirit. When Pentecost came, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues, mighty rushing wind, really freaky stuff. And then they poured out into the streets, speaking all different languages. Now, I would say, in a lot of ways, our church culture is a lot like the culture of the apostles in the beginning. These were working people, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of like owning their own business kind of people, not really highly educated people, but smart people, good people, feet on the ground, you know, really logical kind of people. But these were not people that spoke multiple languages. And during the time of the feast, Jews came from all over the world, all over the known world then, that spoke all these different languages. And when they poured out of the upper room, they heard the story about Jesus and his good news in their language from people that were like us. Like, how many people here, you know, speak Syrian? Anybody? I know there's probably a few French that could speak French here. Maybe a few, a little bit of Spanish. You know, or whatever maybe your native tongue is. But like, these people were speaking languages that they'd never heard, maybe. And God was pouring it out. Then again, at Samaria, there was something so significant that happened that the sorcerer said, there's so much power in this, I want to buy it. So there was something significant that happened when the Holy Spirit fell. And there's something significant that will happen in your life when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember when our family came into that experience. I remember being a traveling healing ministry, pretty much. We'd go from everybody's house to everybody's house. We'd go house to house to house to house, and we'd pray for whoever we could find that was sick, and they were healed. They were healed. Like, I remember people being healed that were like really, really sick. I remember even like in this church building here. I remember Henriette, you know, had a growth on her neck, right? And it disappeared, right? I remember a guy we brought on the bus. The guy had had chronic back problems for 20 years, sitting in church and worship, and just his back was healed instantly. I think there's probably more stories here like that. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he does significant things. But we need to be filled. And we need to keep being filled, continuously being filled by the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous work that we need in our lives. But when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, there's significant change in our life. So we need it. If you haven't experienced it, you need it today. In Acts 19, verse 1, when Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior of the province and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" So one of the main priorities of the early church leaders was they asked, when they met people, "Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled?" They felt it was such a priority because Jesus had made it a big priority when he was leaving the planet. On the night before he was betrayed, after he ascended, after he had risen from the grave, and before he ascended to the Father, all three times, he made it a priority and told them, it's important. And the disciples, the apostles, did exactly the same thing. Whenever they found people that they knew who had been saved, that they weren't involved with, seeing saved, they asked the question, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Somebody didn't do their job. They answered, well then, what kind of baptism did you receive? Paul asked. The baptism of John, they answered. Paul said, the baptism of John was for those who turned from their sin. And he told the people of Israel to believe in the one who was coming after him. That's Jesus. That's the guy I'm preaching about. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Again, salvation, baptism. And then Paul placed his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in strange tongues and they proclaimed God's message. There's that progression that we need to go through. And I think a lot of times, I mean, people have been stuck or stopped and said, okay, I'm willing to give my heart to Jesus, but I'm not willing to go further than that. Or I'm willing to give my heart to Jesus and I'm willing to be baptized, but that's as far as I'm going. Or maybe they feel like, well, that's all I'm allowed to have. Maybe I don't feel good enough to have anything more than that. But the apostles and Jesus made it really clear that there was a third thing that needed to happen, and that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hugely important for them. Most important for them. They were saved, then they were baptized, and then they received the Holy Spirit. And when they did, it had a profound effect on them. The early church felt it important that each person be filled. And the actions of Peter and John actually showed these two things. The first thing it showed was it was not proper or acceptable that any Christ follower stop short of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not proper nor acceptable for a Christ follower to stop without being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why they kept asking the question, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit yet? Have you been filled? Have you? Because they knew that if they were going to win the world for Jesus, 2,000 years later, there's more believers in the world today, than have lived and died since the time of Christ. 2 billion believers in the world today. But 4 billion people that don't know Jesus. They need to know. We carry the message. It's really, really important. If we're going to carry the message of Jesus to the world, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to be filled with the Spirit. The second thing is that when people received the Holy Spirit, there was noticeable evidence of the Holy Spirit at work. They did not consider this experience either as optional or as mystical. God was working purely and powerfully, as He wants to do in your life. And we're going to talk more about this next week. There are some things I want to talk about just to share with. If you feel like today that you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and you can't wait for another week to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's really important to go by the prayer room today. Really important to take the time, set aside those moments for God and just ask God to fill you. If you've been filled, but you've been just living life your own way and you feel empty and dry, it's really important for you to be refilled today. So again, I want you to go to the prayer room. And the reason I say the prayer room, we could call you to the front, but I just think sometimes that 20-step walk is that act of faith to go there and to say, I'm going to take some time out of my coffee time. I might take some time out of being able to spend time with my friends or whatever today. But I want to see God do a work in my life. So today, if that's you, either one of those counts, I want you to go to the prayer room afterwards. If not, next week, we'll pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you.